About a month ago, Roshi Ray sent me a text that there was a weekend at Opaya Zen Center out in New Mexico that was devoted to haiku. And people like, Natalie Goldberg, Clark Strand, Kaz Tanahashi, and also Roshi Halifax. And I'm a neophyte haiku writer, but I really love it. And so he sent this to me, and I signed up for it. It's a two-day weekend, yesterday and then today as well. And I had originally written a talk, but I put that back on the shelf because of the experience of this haiku workshop, which part of which was directly related to the war in Ukraine. And Clark Strand started out, and he gave pretty much the history of haiku through the ages, traditional haiku, the 575, which has some reference to nature in it, and there's some level of humor. But I think somebody mentioned it as she was starting to run her part of the workshop. And her response was, "How many times can our hearts be broken?" And those few words just resonated so deeply in me that I wanted to speak just briefly, share some thoughts about the Ukraine based on this experience. So it comes from the statement, "How many times can our hearts be broken?" And one of the things that was mentioned, there's a book called Life in Haiku, and it was written by a man named Nick Virgilio. And as I said, it's called Life in Haiku. And it's a book of what we call modern haiku. There's a traditional haiku that I meant, and then there's modern haiku, which came after the traditional haiku came from the East to the West. And he was a modern haiku poet. And he was born and raised in Camden, New Jersey. And if you don't know, Camden is right across the river from Philadelphia. And this is, I guess, in the early 60s, he was a well-known radio voice newscaster in that area, the Camden, Philadelphia area. And had been so for maybe 6 years, and he was, you know, progressing in his profession because he had one of those kind of voices that was easily identifiable. And around that time, his brother was killed in Vietnam. And he used haiku as a way of coming to terms with his brother's loss. So much so that he gave up his career as a radio broadcaster and devoted the rest of his life to writing haiku poetry. So just one of his haiku that touched me and that was written in this period of time where he was mourning the loss of his brother. And the haiku is, "The flower that grows in his bullet-ridden helmet." The flower that grows in his bullet-ridden helmet. So what is it that we do with this, right? It's heartbreaking. It's never-ending. And it's very easily to be crushed by this kind of stuff. You know, it's not this kind of stuff, but by war. You know, it's the quick haiku, endless war. How many times can our hearts be broken? Endless war. So, so there's an energy that goes along with this, a very heavy, dark energy. And I think if we allow ourselves to be swept away by this dark energy, this darkness, that then we only support war, these kind of events that take place, large and small. So, of course, one way to come out of that darkness is to think of Thich Hanh Nhat. And I just jotted down a couple of things that he had said, or one thing that he had said, and then something that Dalai Lama said. Peace is not simply the absence of violence. It is the culture, it is a cultivation of understanding, insight, and compassion combined with action. Peace is not simply the absence of violence. It is the cultivation of understanding, insight, compassion combined with action. You know, his pictures right here. And he was a teacher that was unflappably hopeful. He didn't fall into the abyss, a dark place that takes place because of what happens in this world relentlessly. So, just looking through some of the things that he's written and just seeing his picture was uplifting. You know, sort of like, well, there is hope, even in a dark time like now. So the Dalai Lama said about Thich Hanh Nhat, Thich Hanh Nhat shows us the connection between personal inner peace and peace on earth. And I think one of the things that we do here when we sit is we cultivate ourselves in a way that contributes to peace. That can be a contribution that is both large and small. And he talks about the idea of we have to be peace, about being peace. And I don't know why. I was trying to create a metaphor for how the universe is interconnected. And one of the things is called Indra's net. And if you imagine a large net, fishing net, say, and if you pull one part of it, all the other knots that's tied together, and there's little squares of the net. If you pull one part of it, every other part of the net feels that. And so I was thinking about a swimming pool. And if we're all in a pool together, right, we're all one joined by this pool. And so someone can be sitting on the edge of the pool just gently waving or moving their feet in the water. And that sends out a ripple. Even if it can't be seen, it's there. It can be infinitely subtle. Or somebody can jump off the deep end in a cannonball and there's a huge splash and big waves. Right? So both small and big affect the swimming pool, the energy in the pool. Right? Both are just different manifestations of really the same thing, of this energy. So that's sort of a metaphor for me, the way to explain what the universe is, you know, beyond words like space and time, beyond words like universe, right? It's just energy. But we are all vibrating in that same energy in different ways. So every little thing that we do, however subtle, that comes out of our practice, we are being peace and we are affecting the whole swimming pool, each in our own way. So the more we sit, the deeper we sit, the more we practice together as a Sangha and support each other, the better able we are to see clearly what should be done as for us as an individual. What can I do within the limits of my own circumstance? And that's done without comparison. Each person, each one of us, does the best we can. And sometimes it's a cannonball, and sometimes it's just flapping your feet under the water. I shared this experience before, but it's one of these things that just stays with me. But I think it's sort of an example of being peace. And this was somebody, well, I don't know, but I would imagine probably was not involved with meditation or this kind of spiritual pursuit. Or maybe not. Or maybe some other spiritual pursuit. But it was in Starbucks. And I went in to get a coffee. And I paid for my coffee and I went down. And if you're familiar with Starbucks, everybody hangs out at the other end of the counter and they put your drinks down. And because it was, you know, there was not a lot of people there, I knew that the drink that had been passed down was for me. So as I walked up to the counter, and this young woman hands me the coffee, and she smiles. It was the most wonderful smile imaginable. I mean, it was like just, I could feel it in my heart. And, you know, she was making no attempt to do that. It was just naturally who she was this smile. And I carried that smile for the next couple of days. Every now and then, it would come up in my mind, and my heart would open. In that particular instance, it was a subtle gesture, but part of being peace. It was a subtle gesture, but for me, it was a cannonball. So that's sort of what I mean about as we move in the world, we can subtly or not so subtly bring, or we can be peace, like Thich Nhat Hanh would say. So when we talk about, I always wondered exactly what it means when we say, well, let's sit for everybody in the Ukraine, all of the suffering beings there. What does that mean to sit for those people? And I think that we can sit here and each in our own way, whatever love or compassion that we feel, if we just sit with that, we are sending energy out into the world, energy dedicated to those people. Just that simple act. If you could imagine millions of people just doing that, just sitting on their cushion and being peace, being compassion. Well, that radiates out just like that smile. So what I would like us to do is to sit for the people in the Ukraine and try and sit for them with an open heart. Again, as much as you can. And make that our morning's contribution to all the suffering people in that country. Thank you.